Lord of all.
Yes, Lord.
You are Lord of all. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, as we come gathered together in your name, Lord, that we would understand and realize just how great and powerful you are. And so, Lord, as you said, to cast all your cares upon us because you care for you, all our cares upon you because you care for us. I pray today, Lord. Lord, that as we lift out our hands to you, as we come to you, Lord, that you would, Lord, reveal yourself. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you'd bring healing, you'd bring comfort, you'd bring wisdom, you'd bring answers and guidance and direction. God, Lord, you'd restore. Lord, restore that which is broken. Lord, I pray that you would find that which is lost. Lord, you do all these things amazingly. So, Lord, forgive us when we try to do it on our own. Forgive us, Lord, when we walk through life and we forget your benefits, we forget to acknowledge you. But that's not today. Yes. Today we will. Today we are. And we open ourselves to you, knowing that you not only can, but you will. Jesus, I thank you right now. I pray for faith to stir within our body. Yes. Lord, that we would just stir inside of us that faith, Lord, to believe. Lord, with you, all things are possible. So, Lord, no matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on, we will listen to your word.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
You trump everything. Thank you. You're not an add-on. You're not our last-ditch effort. You are our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end. So we start with you and we end with you. So Lord, I just thank you right now for clarity of mind, clarity in spirit. God, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, emotions would settle down that are trying to control our life. I thank you for emotion. It helps remind us that we're human. It helps remind us, Lord, to smile when we're happy, to get excited, Lord. God, Lord, when we're excited, to grieve when we're meant to grieve. But God, Lord, we do not want our emotions to be controlling us. We don't want our mind to be controlling us. This is not mind over matter. This is spirit over flesh. This is truth over a lie. This is blessing over a curse. So Lord, reveal to us what this new kingdom is all about. Reveal to us and that what this life that we've been born again into really means. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. And I thank you, he that began a good work will complete it. Thank you. You're not finished with any of us yet. So Lord, may we never sell short. May we never hold back. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, Lord, I pray as another way you've given us to overcome the world is, Lord, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, and we come, Lord, submitting to you, not just one area of our life, not just another area. Lord, we don't want to put you in compartments. You own everything. Everything is yours now. The moment I come to you, Lord, no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. I don't have any more rights. I don't have any more things. They're not mine anymore. Not my will, but your will. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the ability that you give me to overcome the things of this world, the entrapments, the lust, the pride of life, the jealousy, the covetousness, Lord, the desires that so much flow. And, Lord, you've given us a way to overcome it all. And that is to surrender to Holy Spirit's leading and to obey your word. And so, Lord, I thank you right now that you bring life and freedom everywhere as you are and everything you do. And so, Lord, receive our tithes and our offerings today from the abundance of our heart to yours. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come at this time more than a gift to the Lord? It's the Lord. And at this time, I have a video behind us from one of our missionaries that are in this area called Water's Edge Ministry. So you can hear it behind me.
Hi there, we're Jim and Sharon Knowlson from Water's Edge Ministries right here in Owen Sound. Jim and I recently moved up here to Owen Sound about a year and a half ago, and we are just loving it. We moved up here with two of our three daughters, Gracie, who is just graduating grade 12, and looking forward to prom in a week or so. And Jenna, who is here with us as well and working as a supply teacher on the Blue Water District School Board. Our third daughter, Holly, and her husband, Scott, live back at home near near Newmarket. Well, I guess this is home now, but back at our old home near Newmarket. And they've just recently had our first grandbaby, Macy Lynn. She's 2 months old and is just stolen our hearts already. We are, like I said, loving being here in Owen Sound and ministering in the community. And I'll just pass it over to Jim, and he can share a little bit more about what we're doing here and how you can pray for us. But thank you so much for supporting Jim and I and our family. We appreciate it so much.
Yes, since coming here, lots has happened, and the Lord has blessed us and watched over us, and we're very thankful to Him. He definitely directed our paths. The verse that led us here and carried us and sustained us over the year of preparation before we came was that we were to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding and to acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He'll direct our paths. Praise God that He's been doing that. Upon arriving, it was a matter of time where people and pastors surrounded us, prayed for us, and welcomed us in, and Rockcliffe is a big part of that. So we thank you for your partnership. It's a beautiful facility here that God's given us to maintain and open our doors to many people. You are welcome to come. We'd love to show you around and show you more tangibly what we do. Many of you have been here already, so thank you for your help. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your visits. They mean a lot to us. As for the ministry, the doors are now open and people are coming. We're seeing people being sent from churches. Others have found us online. And one of the surprises is how many ministry couples have taken advantage of this place, whether it's for rest or for counsel. Often in the ministry, it's hard to find that safe place that you can share the struggles that you're carrying. And God's provided this place and equipped us to be able to do that, and we count that as a privilege. Ministering to people that minister to others is very, very important. So you can pray for us. You can pray that our needs will be met, that God will be our provider, that He'll protect us in our relationship and our family time here together, that He'll watch over this place. It is an old place, and things do happen, and we want to keep our eyes on those and take care of it to the best of our ability so it can be used in God's kingdom. So once again, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for watching over us and greeting us, and we look forward to spending time with you again. All right, bless you.
Bye-bye.
Amen. We're so thankful for this couple and this ministry called Water's Ed that has come into our area to help us not only bring counseling and support to marriages and to individuals that are struggling and going through life and the things that they face, but also to ministers and those that are leading ministries. Sometimes it's really hard to get any support for them. And as a church, we sponsor this ministry and we're part of it. If you'd like to support it a little bit more this Thursday, you could join with me so that I don't have to be all there by myself. We're going to clean out some ponds. Remember that, Doug and Grace? You were there, plus some others last year, cleaning some ponds out, trying to get the place ready just to be prepared for what God has in store for them this summer. So if you want to be a part of helping out, the information's in the bulletin. You can grab a hold of it 6 to 9 on Thursday. We're going to be meeting at the Water's Edge Ministry, which is in Anna. And we're just going to have a great time just fellowshipping, rolling our sleeves up together. Lots of announcements in your bulletin. I bring mention to a few of them. I do encourage you to grab a hold of the insert there saying blessing scripture statements that you can pray over your life. I tell you, one of the greatest prayers you can ever pray is the Word of God. Amen? There is power in His Word. Oh, it's more than just a book. It's more than just something for us to read. But when we actually believe what's in there and we begin to declare it out, it's like we're repeating what God has already said. And man, there's a surety in there that He can do what He said He can do. Amen? So I really encourage you to grab a hold of that and just start to get the Word into your heart. Also, just a reminder, all of the parents here for junior youth and senior youth, that's grade 5 to 8 and then grade 9 to 12. There's a new calendar for the whole summer events that's out. It's just as you go out this door, turning right, you'll see a whole bunch of pamphlets with just different questions that we're trying to answer to help people. But you'll find the information in there with Pastor Nathan's phone number so you can get a hold of him and know everything that's going on. We had a phenomenal time last Friday with our junior youth here. Also, we've been sharing different things as a leadership team as we've been breaking down on tithing, on water baptism, on healing, and bringing from Scripture to help teach. Why do we get excited in worship? Why do we clap our hands? And we've been answering these different questions that get asked of us a lot. And so what we thought was we'd put it down, put the Scriptures, put everything down into a pamphlet form so that people can embrace them and grab a hold of and find out who we are. Amen? So this newest one, as a leadership team we've worked through, is on salvation. This is probably the most important one that we will ever do. On the foundation of our salvation in Christ. Not by works, that lest any man would boast, but by his Spirit, by faith. And so in there, we break down John 3:16. And many people can quote it, and they know it's a sign at a football game. But what does it really mean? So we've broken it down, and then we break down in the back end some other questions and that as we walk through with lots of Scripture. But I really encourage you to grab a hold of one, not just so that you can hand it off to someone else, but grab a hold of it. The Bible says we need to examine ourselves lest we not be in the faith. Sometimes we can grow up in church, we can grow up around things, we can take on the form, we can take on that idea, but we really don't fully, truly understand and have not really surrendered to the Lord. To let Him be not only our salvation, but to be our Lord and our King. So I really encourage you. Great study, great Bible study. It'd take you a week to get through all the Scriptures and everything as you dig in, but I encourage you, it will bless you and prepare you to be able to answer the questions for many other people that you'll reach out to. Lots of announcements in the bulletin. I do encourage you, we have a plan to protect training. That means if you want to be a part of anything in the church for anyone under 18 or anyone over 65, you have to have the plan to protect training. It's painless. It's seamless. We are going to have a potluck. Details are in your bulletin on June 3rd. I encourage you to grab a hold of it. Don't forget our baby bottle campaign. That's our help for the Bruce Pregnancy Center. You can grab that information at the information desk. I just encourage you with that. Lots of other announcements. Grab it. It's true if it's in there. In Jesus' name. At this time, we're going to dismiss the kids and... Oh, and my wife says, don't forget the ladies' event that's coming up. It's in your bulletin, the details, that you lack nothing. It's this Friday at my house, 596 7th Street, A East. And ladies, you do not want to miss it. Bring something that you have. You're like, man, I really don't want this anymore. That you, maybe you would garage sale or yard sale it. But remember, one person's junk is another person's treasure. Right? And so you're going to end up sharing things with each other and also learn a little bit more from Scripture where God says we lack nothing in Him. Amen? So ladies, grab that information. It's in your bulletin. Kids at this time are dismissed to Kids Church. Thank you, Lord. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, and you know, some ask, well, what is Pentecost Sunday? Is that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada's day? No, it isn't. It's the birth of the church. It's where everything began for what you and I know as church. Book of Acts, and that Jesus had said, I want you to wait in the upper room. I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, empowers you and give you a boldness so that you can be my witness to the ends of the earth. He challenges us that we can't do this thing called church just by gathering together. That's called a club. Not by might, nor by power, or talents, or gifts, or good looks, or what we wear, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's the only way you and I will be the church is when we allow Holy Spirit to lead us. Because Paul, how many would say Paul was probably a pretty important guy in the Bible? He wrote most of the New Testament. That's probably worthy of taking mention, right? But Paul echoes these words. He says, the things I want to do and I know I ought to do, I don't end up doing. I struggle. The things I don't want to do and that I end up doing, because there's this war, this battle that rages inside of us, because the enemy keeps trying to taunt us to believe that the old life is still alive. But the Bible says the old is gone, passed away, and the new life has begun. So why are we carrying around the old man? Why are we carrying around our past? In Christ, he says, as far as the east and the west, he remembers it no more. And if he remembers it no more, we ought to remember it no more. And when we remember it no more, and we stop focusing on that, we'll stop tripping on it over on this side. Because when we remember it no more, we'll start to remember, okay, God, who do you say I am now? What do you say? Which way can I walk? What can I do? And he begins to flow in our lives, and the word comes alive. Holy Spirit takes over and brings it alive that enables us to walk in the truth. There's no one here strong enough, good enough, smart enough to find God. No one good enough, strong enough to keep God without Holy Spirit's help. I can't stress enough how important Holy Spirit is in our lives. We're to walk according to the Spirit now, not according to the flesh, or the flesh as in the world's way. Romans chapter 12, 2 says, don't conform any longer to the world's way, to the flesh, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you'll know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, allow Holy Spirit to lead. It's a really hard thing for us to do. Right? It's hard in marriage. And that for a woman, as she's independent, and a man who's independent, and all of a sudden they come together, and all of a sudden for the lady who's probably sometimes smarter and better in lots of different areas than the husband is, but God's way, and that is that the husband is meant to lead. That doesn't mean he's up on top and he's great. No, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. But God puts order in place for a reason, to teach us things, to develop us in ways. Because as ladies, you have some weaknesses that the men don't have. Men, you have weaknesses that the women don't have. But when we come together as one, we lack nothing. And God is wanting us to understand, and that just because we're a little different, just because we have different roles, just because God has put us in different places, doesn't mean one's greater than the other. Even though God has called me to be the lead pastor of Rockland Pentecostal Church, when I stand before God and you stand before God, I'm not any greater than you are. We're all human beings in this thing trying to hear from God and walk with him. Amen? The only difference is that whom he calls, he will equip. When we walk in the function he's called us to walk in, then he equips us for that. He'll give us everything we need. We can trust Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get ourselves in hot water because we're overstepping our bounds at work. We're overstepping our bounds at home. We're overstepping our bounds in different things because God never called us into those positions and places. Rest in him. When every piece functions properly, we see God move in an incredible way. All over the world, the Christian churches on this day, Pentecost Sunday, are celebrating and recognizing the gift of the Holy Spirit, realizing that God's very life, God's very breath, God's very power lives in every believer. The great I am, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you. Oh man, someone should get excited about that. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the men returned to Jerusalem and joined together in prayer in the upper room. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, just as promised, the sound of a violent wind filled the house and tongues of fire came and rested upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were given the power of communication, which Peter used to begin his ministry for which Jesus had prepared him. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not stay in the upper room basking in God's glory, enjoying his presence, but they went out to shout around the world that Jesus is alive and he sent the Comforter to be with us, that we never have to be alone again. This was the beginning of the church as we know it. Pentecost Sunday reminds us of the reality that we all have the unifying Spirit, Holy Spirit, that is poured out on the first century church. It's a reminder that we are co-heirs with Christ, to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now teach each one the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good." What God does inside of you, let me break it down in a different way. Everything God does inside of you is not meant for you just to keep for you. But what he does inside of you is meant for the common good, and you're to share it out. Amen? Every good gift comes from our Father above, and every good thing he pours on us, we're to pour out. So we're to give it out. We're to share our testimony. We're to share our blessings. We're to share our lives. We're to share the words that he brings alive inside of us so we can encourage and spur one another on in the most holy faith. We're not to keep it to ourselves, but it's for the common good. That we are all baptized by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink." It doesn't matter what nationality is. That's what the Bible is saying. It doesn't matter your status and class. It doesn't matter anything. It matters is, are we surrendering to him? And if we open ourselves to him, we all receive the same. Amen? He plays no favorites. There's no greater and equal, greater and lesser. But at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. Now, yes, let me pause for a half a second. There are some that have disciplined themselves, that have spent time in the Word, that are saying more yeses today than knows the Holy Spirit, that seem to be more alive and more moving with him and more able to hear him. But that's not because they're any better. It's just because they've disciplined themselves and they have opened themselves to the Holy Spirit. They've opened themselves to the Word of God. And that's available to you and I too. Sometimes we want the quick fix because we see where someone's at and say, "Oh man, I want everything they have." You don't want what they have. Because for them to get to the place they've had a whole slew of problems and a whole slew of situations in their life where they were hitting rock bottom that caused them to grow and develop and trust God more. We don't all learn in the good moments of life. I wish we did. That would be so easy then. Everything would be peachy creamy. But it's in the tough times of life that we start to find out what we're made of. It's in the tough times of life that all of a sudden we say, "I believe in this." And then something hits us. And then we start to develop and understand, do I really believe it or do I not? Is it just words? Or is it in my heart? You see, that's what life does to us. And the enemy is constantly trying to take you away from a relationship with trusting in God. With doubt and fear and worry and anxiety. That's what he did in the garden. And he hasn't stopped because he's not creative. He keeps doing the same thing over and again. But we are like sheep. And we just keep doing the same thing too. Unless we pause to listen to our shepherd's voice and follow him out of danger. Follow him into the good life. Follow him into the place that he's called you and I to be. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside every believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. You however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Pause. Everyone in this room is going to have aches and pains. It's going to have problems in our bodies as we move through. But every problem we have is an opportunity for God to shine, for His glory to be revealed. That's why we come to the Lord and ask Him to heal. That's why we come to the Lord and ask Him to touch our body, to direct us and help us. Amen? It's so His goodness can shine in our lives, but we remember, we don't keep it to ourselves. It's for the common good, so that we can give it out to others, so that they can see, wow, God did that for you? Oh my goodness, maybe He can do that for me. And then faith gets stirred as they look to Christ and they start to ask Him, God, would you come reveal yourself to me? The gift of the Holy Spirit was promised and given to all believers. And it's been promised for you and your children and for all those afar off whom the Lord God will call. Acts chapter 2, 39. His will is to pour out His flesh on all, Spirit upon all flesh. Are you open to Him? Not just open to get out of troubles, open to get to heaven, but open to Him to lead you to life. You see, this is the call that Jesus gives us over and over again. It's a difficult call because it means that we're to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. And that's really hard. That's the tough message of Christianity that sometimes doesn't get shared because we want the good. We want the benefits. We want the excitement. But the Bible does say very clearly in that we need to also partner Him with His suffering just as much with His blessing. And when we understand that, then all of a sudden we understand, wait a second here, just because I'm going through a tough time doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Oh, what a lie the enemy throws at us. Oh, now, but let me pause. I got to back up a bit because I don't want to get in trouble or get 19 emails later. And that, yes, if we sin, we give legal right to the devil to do whatever he wants in our life. To mess with us, to poke at us, to kick at us, to do whatever. That's just reality. 101 Christianity. But the moment we repent, that door shuts. Enemy has no access. He has no power, no right, no authority on you and me. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil's got nothing unless you and I open a door. In our thought life, in our actions, with our tongue, whatever it might be. And then he tries to exploit it to try and rob, kill, and destroy. But the moment we come to our senses, like David, messed up tons, but he was a man after God's own. The moment we come to our senses, say, whoa, wait a minute, this is robbing me of God's best. Whoa, wait a minute, this is not what God has for my life. Whoa, this is not what the Word of God says. And we shut the door and we start to walk. The enemy has no more access. He has nothing. Keep a short account, the Bible says. Don't let the devil have a foothold. That's really what he's trying to say to us. And then we only can do this by allowing Holy Spirit to lead us. He's better than a GPS. I don't know how many times I've got lost with a GPS. Turn right. And then all of a sudden, the worst words, it's like a swear word for the GPS. U-turn, turn around, turn around. Turn around. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You just led me this way, and now all of a sudden you realize that you didn't know what you were talking about. Now I got to turn around. With Holy Spirit, He always knows what He's talking about, and He will only lead you into the narrow path that would lead to life. You can trust Him. A.W. Tozer, great scholar, a man of God that loved God lots. This is what he said, and I want to read a quote directly from him, and that is, it really challenged my heart, and I really believe that it's an echo to our North American church today. He says, we may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality among the North American church is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus in the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute the joy of the Lord, and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute the power of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that there's a desperate need in the church for the Holy Spirit to be given room to work, to be given room in our lives to help lead us. More than ever, we need Holy Spirit. If you're a book reader and you want to read a good book, I really encourage you to read this book by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God. It's talking about Holy Spirit. We walk in life so much forgetting about the fact that Jesus says, if it was not so, I would not tell you, but it's good for me to go so I can send the Holy Spirit. So he would counsel you, he would guide you, he will direct you into all truth, into all ways. So I want to read just a couple excerpts from here. Chapter 47, if you do get the book and you want to look it up. What if God doesn't come? I want to kind of address a question here that causes a lot of things. And I'm just going to read right from the book for a moment here. It says, before we delve further into this conversation about the Spirit, I believe some others' fears need to be identified and dealt with. One concern I have often heard and felt is, what if I pray for the Holy Spirit and nothing happens? What if I pray for healing and nothing happens? What if I pray for my husband or my wife or someone else to pray and nothing happens? What if I ask for more of the Spirit's fruit in my life and I don't see any apparent results? You see, it's scary to pray boldly for change or freedom from sin. Because if nothing happens, then doesn't that mean that God failed? Doesn't that mean that Holy Spirit isn't all that we've been told he is? You see, I think the fear of God is failing to lead us, and so we cover it up and we put a cover for God. That means we ask for less. We don't really want to risk daring to ask for all of what he said we could. We're expecting less. I really pray that we never walk into church expecting just the same old, same old. It will always be the same old, same old if all we do is come in, sit down, enjoy, and walk away. But the moment God's word gets shared, the moment we begin to sing and worship God, worship is warfare, worship is engaging. There's something amazing when our hearts open up. But it's really hard for us in that if we're in the flesh, it's hard to connect in the Spirit. So not only does it mean we ask for less, we expect less, and are satisfied with less, because we're afraid to ask for or expect more. We even convince ourselves that we don't want any more. That we have all the God we need and could want. I can't imagine how much pain God has to see his children hold back from a relationship with the Holy Spirit out of fear that he won't come through. How much it grieves him to watch his children ignore the promises he's made throughout Scripture due to fear that these promises won't be kept. Empowering his children with the strength of the Holy Spirit is something the Father wants to do. You don't got to beg him for it. He wants to empower you. He wants to love on you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to be in your life. You don't have to try and get his attention. He wants to. Billboard signs flashing, him echoing. He loves you and longs for that. It's not something we have to talk him into. He generally wants to see us walk in his strength. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts, the sinful desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the lust, it wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So how do we have this divide inside of us, as Paul echoes, the things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I do, I don't want to do, I end up doing. I have this war inside of me. How do we get break free? How do we get free from that? We get free from that battle, internal battle inside of us, by walking in the Spirit. It's not rocket science. It's made simple so a child can do it. So that you and I can do it as we open our heart. And if I put it in a smaller way, if we learn to say more yeses today to him than noes, he will start to lead us out of everything that we find ourselves in. Everything we go through. Our times of difficulty, when we hear a word from the enemy, and that's speaking into us. Maybe we hear a negative report from a doctor who's trying to do their best. It's not the doctor that's bad, but the word that they gave. Maybe it's the loss that we face. And that is Mr. Parker passed away. And that, or Mrs. Kepler passed away. And it's a loss that a family would feel. And we're walking through that part, God's saying, whatever you are at, whatever stage, whatever you're facing, I am there. And if you allow me, if you allow Holy Spirit to lead you, he will lead you in and through, over and under anything and everything you will face, because there is no weapon formed against you will prosper. But you got to trust him. You got to let him lead, not your emotions. Listen, we're Pentecostals. We love to feel Holy Spirit, and we love to feel God. Amen? But listen to me. He's not the feeling. He's not the feeling. That's the aftermath of what he's doing in your life. Thank God for the feeling and the emotion, because he allows us to experience. So, that's what it is. Oh, I like it. It's good. Ouch! Ooh, conviction. I don't know. He allows us to emotionally express and feel all of that. But he says, don't be led by the emotion. Don't chase after emotion. Don't chase after and that what you see someone else has. Just because God speaks to someone or does something in their life and they encounter or they show it in some way, don't chase after that and say, oh, if I only had that. No, just say, God, here I am. What do you got for me? What do you want to do in my life? I don't know. I mean, maybe I have, because the Bible says that, you know, we entertain angels and we are unaware and we don't even know. But I've never seen an angel. I've been saved forever. I've been in services, sensing God's presence, hearing this person say, wow, I saw angels. They were surrounding the whole place, and they're just eyes, they're just bugged right out, and God is just so made large in their life, and they're just excited. And I'm like, wow, I'm trying to look with binoculars. Where are they? I don't see them. And I don't, but that doesn't mean I don't believe. I believe not because I see. I believe not because I feel. I believe because God's word said it so. Amen? That's what we come back to. That's the only solid rock I have to stand on, is on Christ's word, on him. Not emotion, not what we see, not this, not that, but his word. What does his word say? And then we hang on to that. And we say, okay, God, that's what you said. I'm going to put it into my life. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to walk in this. Even if it feels like I got a risk, I'm not covering up for you. I'm not excusing or making excuses for you anymore. I trust you. Your word is truth, and I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to walk in it. Even if I don't see it right now, I know you're at work. Half the time, we quit way early. We quit so early that the enemy, he's just laughing, and he's all excited. Daniel prayed 21 days for the same thing. And then all of a sudden, the angel shows up to him. And if I paraphrase it a little bit, says, thanks so much for not quitting. It took me 21 days. I had to go back and get Michael the archangel, the warrior angel, to fight and clear a path through so I could bring the message that God released the very second you spoke it out. You see, we got to understand there is a war around us. There is all sorts of things that take place that we don't see. And that's where it requires us to trust in him. And that's tough. That's tough. Wait on him. That's almost like a curse word. Oh, wait? Say yes, say no, but don't say wait, God. It all comes back. Do you know he's a good God? Do you know he's your God? He's the lover of your soul. If you were the only one in this world, he would have sent his son to die just for you. That's how much he cares about you. It's not because the person you're sitting next to or someone across the room has actually got it together, so God's here just because of them. No, he's here because of you too. He loves you. The flesh in Paul's theology includes sinful pleasure and emotions, sensuality, gluttony, alcoholism, and the whole list can go on and on, as well as sinful emotions like pride and bitterness and anger and defensiveness. You see, all those things create a door. All those things are the things that wage a war inside of us. But he says the way past all of that battle is to walk in the Spirit. Trust me. He says, trust me, walk with me. Allow Holy Spirit to lead you. Galatians 5:17, Paul describes the violent war inside of every believer. The flesh war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh to the degree that we are actively engaging with him. Now listen, let me pause on this. This is super important. Yes, the more you grow in God, the greater his anointing is. Amen? The more you grow in God, the greater the battle around you is in. Amen? Listen to me. The devil doesn't want you growing in God. He doesn't want you encountering him. He doesn't want you open to him. So he's going to do everything he can. But you must remember, what you start in the spirit, you cannot finish in the flesh. Too many times we try to coast this walk with God. And listen to me. Magnetic Hill in Moncton, New Brunswick. Anyone's been down there, they understand. It's this principle where all of a sudden you drive and it's like you stop in this area, you put your car in reverse, and you end up going backwards. But it's not a hill. It's just the way that things work. And in with God, if you put it in reverse, I'm telling you now, you will not stay still, you will move backwards. If you put it in park, you will stay still, but God's moving, and he's doing, and you'll get stuck back there. There's only one gear that God's called us to put it in is, and that's in drive. Oh, you might be in L1. Because, like, it's tough. I don't care if you're in baby step one. Just keep moving forward. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. You must trust. You must listen to him. You need to pray and find out for God for yourself. You can hear him. You can hear him. You don't need the next pastor or the next person or the next person that's been saved for 50 years to give you the answer. I thank you, God, for all of those things. They've helped me all through life with wisdom, and they help me, encourage me, and confirm into my heart. But I don't care if the most godly person tells you something. It's got to be confirmed here. Well, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. It's every young pastor that's starting to come into the ministry. When I have a chance to talk to them, the very first thing I tell them, I say, do you know that you're called? Do you know that God wants you to be a pastor? And if they can't look me in the eyes and say yes, I'll say, you know what? Then don't do it. It's not easy. It's not easy. You need to know that you're called. Right? Same thing. Do you know that God wants you to be the next brain surgeon of Owen Sound? Is that what he's asked you to do? Listen, there's a long list of studies. There's a long list of weight and a long list of stuff that you got to do for that. And it's not all glory and fame. Because every time you do your best to try and help someone, and you've done everything you can to the, in your ability, it's still never enough if the outcome doesn't come in the way they want. Come on, we live in real life. It's not easy. Nothing is glamorous as what it looks. Oh, if I could be the next superstar, if I could be the next movie star, only to get into that place and find out everything is not the way you thought it was, and the very core values of what you held on to be who you are now ripped from you because you have to become someone different. Your morals, your standards have to drop because you can't fit in if you don't. Don't wish for something that you don't understand, but allow Holy Spirit to lead you and to walk you in that way. Galatians 5:16, Paul exhorts us to walk in the Spirit. This sums up our response to the Holy Spirit. Paul follows this exhortation with one of the greatest promises in Scripture. He says, "You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." I don't know about you. Are you tired of tripping on the same old, same old? Are you tired of the same thought keep poking at you every time, or the picture coming in front of you, or that emotion rising up when someone comes in the room and it just, they grit you the wrong way? Are you tired of those things? Then the Bible says your answer out of that is to walk according to the Spirit. Walking the Spirit is within reach of every believer. We are not promised that all fleshly desires would be gone, nor that the war would ever be over as long as we're here on earth, but that we would have power to not fulfill those sinful desires. If I put it in a different way, as a believer in Christ, we do not have to sin again. Now, make sure you heard what I said. We don't have to sin again. Will Pastor Phil sin again? Yep, I'll probably fall when I get my eyes off of Jesus, and that when I stop in that focusing and keep walking forward, when I come to a place that I've kind of arrived, I'm kind of there for now, I'm just on a coast for a little bit, you know. Of course, we are going to mess up until God comes and receives us as his bride and takes us to heaven. He's going to give us a new body. All the old is gone. He's broken us, set free when we get to heaven. There's no more of that stuff. But while we're on the earth, it's still here. He doesn't take it all away, but he says, I'll give you everything you need to overcome because I overcame the world. You can overcome it too. So none of us have the excuse of saying, well, you just don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what my life has faced and all that. Listen, Jesus went through everything and anything you and I could go through. Family turned on him at times. All of his disciples turned him on at times, his friends. The government and all around him turned on him. He took the weight of all the world upon him. And he knows what suffering is. He knows all of those things. We've got to stop living the excuse and allowing the excuse to lead our life, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead it. Because he'll lead us out. Our excuse will lead us in and keep us there. He knows who you are. He doesn't want you to be like me. He doesn't want you to be like the other person. He wants you to be all that he created you to be. Let him mold you.